Be brief, for no discourse can please for long. This is Dr. Harel Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Be brief, for no discourse can please for long. Many of us feel that we can just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Many people feel that they have so much to say, and they want to just say it all. And many speakers, they get up and speak, and they go on and on and on. Of course, I should complain because I'm a seminar speaker, and during a seminar I can speak for one entire week, 4 hours or better a day of lectures, and be desired, have people come back year after year to attend these lectures, which always are different, always have different attitudes, different directions to them, different potential to them. But that's one thing. That's one thing. Most people have a tendency to talk out a situation rather than think out a situation. If we were to really think out a situation, we would come to a conclusion of knowing that what our thoughts are exceedingly important. And sometimes we just talk without thinking. And when we talk without thinking, our discourse is certainly very uninteresting and undesirable. But when we talk with thinking, that doesn't mean we think ahead of time. We think on our feet. We think spontaneously. We think instantaneously. We think illuminated thoughts. We think thoughts that are uplifting and powerful and desirable and wonderful. But how do we go about thinking such thoughts as these? It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to say that's the kind of thoughts that we want to think about. But how do we think illuminated thoughts? How do we think uplifted thoughts? Well, it is not in our long discourse that the uplifted thoughts can be made. We were speaking the other day how Abraham Lincoln gave a very short discourse, and as he gave this, he talked about the nation's men who had been in the armed forces and who had died for the safety and security of their country's program. Now, noble, beautiful thoughts, uplifting thoughts. The congressman who spoke before the president spoke at great length for 2 hours, in fact. And no one remembers what he said. Oh, we can find out, perhaps, but no one remembers. But everyone remembers the Gettysburg Address. Everyone who remembers it, who has studied American history, who has studied the history of the United States, they remember that, and they remember it with great dignity and with great respect. The great words of Shakespeare are noble and coming down through the centuries, but it's phrases that stand out, like to be or not to be. And all of these things that we have learned, all of these things that have been meaningful, they have been phrases and they have been statements and they have been talks that have been meaningful and significant for the particular time and the purpose for which they were given. I have read about many lectures and many speakers, and in my many classes on speech and on speaking, public speaking, one of the primary things that has been said time and again is if you're going to give a hour talk, at least put an hour of preparation into it beforehand. If you're going to give a half-hour talk, you have to put a couple hours into it. If you're going to give a five-minute talk, you have to prepare for a week or maybe even a month ahead of time of what you're going to say to make those 5 minutes really count. Now, I do not personally believe this, but I say this because this is the common attitude that is had. A five-minute talk, inspirationally given, pointed directly to the topic for which it is to be given, can be far more significant when it is inspirationally given right off the cuff, right off the top of your head, so to speak, without a lot of figuring out what is going to sell, what is going to go across, what is going to work. You see, if a person is asked to speak, they are usually asked to speak because they have something to say. At the breakfast table and all of our meals, every day I ask our staff, I say, well, what wonderful things happened to you today? What amazing, marvelous things happened to you today? And the itinerary, without exception, in fact, it's so rare that it's just unknown, without exception, they relate what was on the schedule for them to do and that they did it. They don't say, oh, today I had the most wonderful proctoring that I had ever had in my life. It was dealing with one person who was telling about the answer to this question, and they said it so powerfully. So it was just like my reading the entire course over again. It was so uplifting and so fantastic. Well, now, why don't they say that? That happened to them. But you see, they're intimidated by the concept that I present to them. What wonderful thing happened to you today? What did you do today that's so great? And they want to protect themselves by saying they did their job. Well, that's not really what I wanted to hear. And it's not really what they wanted to say. The other day, Ellen, our CEO, she does proctoring quite often, and she wanted us to know about a letter. It wasn't a letter, but it was a book review that this woman had written. And the book review was, in her mind, so noble that everything else that was taking place was forgotten. And she read the book review, and indeed, it was noble. It was spectacular. It was a remarkable response to the book that she had read. And you see, that touched her. That illuminated her. Now, if she had said, well, I did 12 proctorings today, and I did the bookkeeping, and I paid the bills, and I did these things, and those are meaningless things. They're important things that you do just by the side, by the way. But the important things are those things that touch your heart, that touch your soul, that touch your beingness with wonder and magic. It's not that it's something so spectacular that it sets the earth on fire, but when you can proctor a student's work and from one lesson to another, find them making progress, find them coming forth from where they had been to where they now are, uplifting and illuminating themselves with new concepts, new ideas, and new ways. How great that is. How great that is. I am always amused that when I ask these questions, I am saying to them, off the top of your head, what happened to you today? Oh, I went for my meditation walk, and while I was meditating, I was thinking, how great it is to be alive. How great it is to be living right now, to be living at this moment in time when I am me and I am so pleased and so happy that I'm surrounded by beautiful people that in this moment I so wonder. Wow. Wow. What a great response. Or if they would say, you know, I was working on the golf cart today. It stopped. And I was driving along and it just stopped. And so, instead of immediately getting out and saying, what can be the matter be? Oh dear, what can the matter be? I said, hey, I know that I know that I know exactly what is to be done, and it is now done. And then you get out and you lift up the seat of the golf cart, and there is the little motor. And you look at the little motor and you say, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. And then you touch the wires and you find out that some of the wires are not as tightly connected to the other wires as they should be. And so you take the wire and you firmly attach it to the other wire, and lo and behold, the golf cart goes again in a beautiful, positive, wonderful way. Now, I thought that was just, I listened within, and I heard, I listened within. Now, that should be what we do all the time, of course. But as we have these moments of listening within with responses of guidance, not that we're so superior to somebody else or so better than ourselves, but we are putting it into practice. And those are the things that show the illuminated mind. Those are the things that, if we're brief in our discourse, then everyone is pleased, and we are pleased. We just say, hey, I put into practice what we teach. I put into practice. I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer. I put into practice what we teach. I said, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. And it was. Wow! Well, why be so surprised? That's what we teach, isn't it? And be yourself and have fun. You know, I was sitting in my introspection time today, and I said, what does it really mean to be myself and have fun? Well, it means that I have no concern for what other people do in the world, except to bless them and see them having a wonderful time. I have no concern for what I am doing. I just listen to the divine in me and follow it. Now, when you enter into the absolute thought, there's not much that's much fun at all. When you enter into the absolute thought, you enter into a consciousness that we have no sight about right now. Do you have any idea what bliss is like? Do you have any idea what a peace that passeth all understanding is like? Do you have any idea? No. And the reason is, you haven't let yourself be there. You haven't let yourself go. Through your much talk, through your much mouthing of things, you have not stopped to listen to the divine within. You have not stopped to be in bliss, to be in peace. You see, our words are great. We have many things to say, it's true. But be at peace. Listen to the divine, and the divine reveals to you and to all the world how wonderful it is. Be brief, for no discourse can please for long, either ourself or others. Our statements or affirmations are brief, but they're as powerful as the most powerful thing in the universe, because they state an eternal truth which we believe. Think on these things, they're wonderful. Have a great thought for today, and I know that your life is filled with peace and love and joy, harmony and goodness, and I know that every desire of your heart is met now. I love you. I love you. I love you.